The New Testament lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 9th chapter, beginning at the 35th verse. Then Jesus went out about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Happy Father's Day. Whatever day it was a couple weeks ago when the June newsletter came in the email and I read through it and I saw the item about today's Gifts of Men service, I thought, that's nice. I wonder who's giving the sermon. Guess what? Well, Rob's been very helpful and encouraging throughout this, and most of all, he's been very clear that I can talk about whatever I want. So with that, let's get started. James Comey is not a topic I'm going to discuss today. It's for another time and probably for somebody else. No, today I'd like to talk about Abraham and Sarah and the disciples and us. I realize that most of the time Rob's and Joel's sermons have titles, and unfortunately the timing between my creative process and the print deadline for the bulletin was a little out of sync, so you don't have a title in front of you. I understand and appreciate that a title may be helpful to have some orientation and a point of reference, so I will tell you now that the title of this sermon is Staying the Same. I don't know about you, but I'm sort of a creature of habit. I've lived in the same house for 28 years and worked at the same company for almost 27 years, and I have to watch the final round of the U.S. Open on Father's Day afternoon. So yes, there are things that I like to have remain the same. There's a picture on the windowsill in our family room of Linda and me standing with our son Matthew on the steps of his dorm when we dropped him for his first year of college 10 years ago. That picture is there all the time, and I don't usually pay much attention to it, but I happened to look at it more closely recently, thinking about the passage of time and all the changes in the meantime, 10 years. And after some reflection, I finally said to myself, you know, I still wear those pants on a regular basis. And the shirt, too. So fashion forward's never really been my thing, and that hasn't changed much. But let's face it, change is all around us. It's not always welcome. We don't always ask for it. In fact, it's probably fair to say that most of the time we don't ask for it. Dealing with change is simply part of life. I know I pray often what's known as the Serenity Prayer, by the American theologian Reinhold Niebuhr. God, give me the grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other. I usually add something else to this that's along the lines of the part about wisdom, but says it a little bit more explicitly for me, and that is, God, help me to hear your voice and know your will in discerning what is to be done. In all of this, many of us can probably think of a change in our lives that we didn't seek and didn't welcome, but that had a profoundly positive influence on our lives and the lives of those that we love. Consider Abraham and Sarah in our Old Testament lesson. God tells Abraham and Sarah that they will have a son. God had already told Abraham of this, but now Sarah is hearing it for the first time. And she is incredulous, so incredulous that she laughs. "Why do you laugh?" God says. "Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?" Indeed. While Sarah and Abraham were faithful servants of God, they had demonstrated this time and again. They had uprooted themselves and moved multiple times, battled to keep their family together. And now it was God's plan for them to make another change. It wasn't that Sarah doubted God's wonders. That's not why she laughed. She laughed because she found it incredible that such a thing could be accomplished through her. But of course, God knew better. Sarah's faith stayed the same. It was the way she would live it out that was about to change. God had chosen to work through her. The disciples in Matthew's lesson have just been given a new assignment, and it's a real doozy. I wonder what they're thinking. They've already made enormous changes in their lives to follow Jesus. They've demonstrated their faith. Is it possible that they can do what Jesus is instructing them to do? They were probably thinking, "Are you sure, Jesus? Are you sure we're ready? We've seen you perform miracles, but us?" Well, Jesus was sure, and it was time for God to work his miracles through the disciples. We see in Sarah, Abraham, and the 12 faithful servants of God who have already made sacrifices and changes in their lives for the purpose of living out their faith, and now they are making one more change to do his work. We see God at work performing more wondrous things through them, who he has prepared, whether they realize it right away or not. Perhaps what we see most of all is God taking the long-range view. Seeds are being planted, wheels are being set in motion. It would take many years for the nation of Israel to grow from the seed of Abraham and Sarah's son, Isaac. The work of the disciples, of course, still goes on. These miracles are awesome in their scope, and they have happened because God performed them through people not unlike us, whose faith stayed the same, and who opened themselves to God's promise in order to live it out in a different way, who trusted God through the change. Now, what about us? What do we believe about the miracles that God can accomplish through us? What does our long-range view look like? I believe that we must form this view in the context of all of God's creation and all of his people. The world outside these walls, if you will. I don't have to tell you what a crazy world we live in. We could talk for a long time about the secularization of our culture and all that goes with it. The constant bombardment of technology, which makes our lives better and easier in some ways, more complicated, hectic, and generally noisier in others. Will continue to change in us in ways that are impossible to predict. If you'll permit me, I'll give a short history of the futility of such predictions. In 1943, Thomas Watson was the CEO of IBM, and he said, "I think there is a world market for maybe 5 computers." Later in 1977, Ken Olson, founder of the Digital Equipment Corporation, said, "There is no reason that anyone would want a computer in their home." That one may turn out to be true, though not for the reasons he was probably thinking. There are, of course, other dynamics that we observe and experience besides technology every day. Economic dislocation and inequality, tearing of the social fabric, uncivil discourse, environmental threats, challenge to institutions of church, education, and government, a city in crisis on our doorstep. These dynamics, these changes will continue to be with us. All of this, in my view, adds up to a tremendous need and opportunity to hear God's voice amid the change and to do his work in the world. How do we hear God's voice amidst this noise? How, in a changing world, do we live into our faith and our mission? Recall Jesus' words in Matthew's gospel. "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We must be among the laborers outside these walls." Within these walls, we've been through considerable change over these past several years. We've said goodbye to beloved friends, leaders, and teachers. We've welcomed new friends, shared each other's joys, supported each other in sorrow. We have been through a period of transition that was occasionally challenging in passage, but from which, in my view, we have emerged stronger. I believe we have developed an even stronger sense of our own responsibilities to each other, to this place, and to God. We have talented and dedicated staff and strong leadership, including 2 pastors who are as gifted as any who have ever walked these halls and stood in this pulpit. In the words of Buck Showalter, "I like our guys." Now, I haven't heard him say that too much recently, but if he was here, that's what he would say. This, I believe, is our time. In the coming weeks and months, Rob and Joel and the session will lead us through a series of discernment exercises. Rob has introduced these in the newsletter: appreciative inquiry, natural church development, and the timeline. These vehicles will help us get in touch with the answers to the questions of who we have been, who we are, and who we are called to be. It is our job, all of us, to explore these questions, and I urge everyone to participate with energy as these opportunities arise in the coming days. These are questions we must answer together. This is our time. In this time, we will listen for God's voice, as Sarah and Abraham and the disciples did, to understand how God intends to work his miracles through us and be open to the changes that God will ask of us in a changing world. Let us be ready for those changes so that we can stay the same, living our mission as an inclusive community of faith, growing as disciples of Christ. Amen.